afternoon is found in the Gospel according to Matthew in the New Testament, the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28, we can start reading at verse 1 up to the end of this chapter. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord, after sermon, we will sing Psalter 200, stanzas 1 and 3. Let us read again our sermon text this afternoon from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The last word of a person's life is very significant. There are many things in this world you can talk about. Some are more important, some others are less important, and there are still things that are very important that you can never miss until the last moment, just before you say goodbye to people. Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples at the end of this gospel book. Finally, Christ is giving out his charge. So many missionaries went out abroad, obeying this important call. Jesus Christ himself was the missionary. He was a missionary because he had to come down into this world to show who the Father was. From the bosom of the Father he came, and in plain words, Jesus taught people who God is. And now, as Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry, just before he was ascending into heaven, he is leaving this final charge with his beloved disciples in a very plain words once more. Many missionaries heeded this call. They left in search of the lost souls in the land that has not been known unto them, in the Far East countries, in Africa, in various corners, sent first by this great missionary Jesus Christ, and also by the church, the collective body of Jesus Christ. The theme this afternoon is the Great Commission of the missionary Jesus Christ. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider 3 points under this theme. First, the great power of the one who sends them. Second, the great purpose for which they are sent. And third, the great promise to them that are sent. The great commission of the missionary Jesus Christ. The great power of the one who sends them. The great purpose for which they are sent. The great promise to them that are sent. Jesus Christ has been resurrected from his death. He has just shown how true his gospel is by rising from the dead. He, through his resurrection, confirmed every teaching that he gave to the people. Starting the Sermon on the Mount and all the parables that he gave in a plain words, and all the promises he gave to his beloved disciples are now finally confirmed through his undeniable resurrection. He was the first ever to overcome the power of death in the human history. The Father's promise of sending his only begotten Son, the seed of a woman, was fulfilled through his life and through his death and the resurrection. The power of the devil is now much destroyed. The victory is the Lord's. No one who flees to Jesus Christ will taste the condemnation due to the sins and the devil. Have you been asked to do something by somebody who is very skillful, knowledgeable, and even very successful in that area? If that thing was asked to you by that special person, you would do your best, knowing this person is far more knowledgeable than you are. He or she could do it herself or himself, but they asked you to do it. There must be a reason why they do that. There are many noble things to do as Christians in this world. Nothing is more precious than to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. By this gospel, you are saved from the perishing world. By this gospel, you could be freed from the power of the sin and death. By this gospel, you are reconciled with the Almighty God, the living God, the Holy One. So no wonder that we want to share this gospel with other people. And then Jesus gives this charge. Go and share as much as you could. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means he is able to do anything. As the King of the kings, the Lord of the lords, nothing is impossible with him. But then he asked. No, he commanded his disciples to do what he asked them to do. You may wonder why Jesus would not make all these unbelievers believers just by his power, with his authority, with his supernatural power. But in reflection of our morning service, true faith does not come in that way. Your will has to be exercised by this gospel when the Holy Spirit works in you through the Word. It's not just automatic reaction. It is living and lively thing that has to happen if it has not happened in your souls through the Word. And this is the way God would work out his redemptive plan throughout the history, through the generations after generations, and unto the end of the world. Jesus has the authority to impose the believers and the churches to obey this command. He is the head of the church. Every elder, every pastor, every deacon, every church derives their spiritual authority over people, not from themselves, but from this head of the church, Jesus Christ. And so rightly, Jesus has all the more right to command this commission. He rules the heaven and earth. He is giving this commandment as the direction for all churches, small or great. You may be wondering how you could be doing something concerning this command for Jesus. You are thinking right now, as you gather here this afternoon, how can I fulfill this command of our Lord? I'm a believer. I belong to this church. What has to be changed? How I can do for the sake of this gospel? Well, I first of all want you to remove any limiting thought in you. You may think that I am too busy with my own works. I don't even have time for my family. Because I work from early morning till late night, I can't do this. Or you may think, I am not rich enough. I just stretch every dollar for my own family, my life, and I can't do more than this, what I'm doing. Or you may think, I'm just a child in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I just merely attending the Sunday worship services week after week. How can I do more? But do you not acknowledge that Jesus is the King and the Savior of the entire world? The work is not dependent on you. He has already all the power necessary for this work. That's why He puts His name on it. Before He said, you go. Before He gives out these marching orders, He already showed that this is His work. And all you have to do is to obey according to this command. The Bible even mentions that whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let alone the reward for your work for mission. This is command. There is no option for you. This is not about our own ability. It is about the authority of Jesus Christ. God could use the weakest means to save sinners. Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest kill the enemy and the avenger. Second, Jesus sends His disciples with great purpose. When Jesus asked His disciples to do something for Him, it was very specific. We'll look at what specific things Jesus gave regarding His command. Jesus came Himself to make disciples of the people among the sinners. They were together with Jesus and learned of Him. Being a disciple of Jesus means to be with Him. They follow Jesus wherever He goes. They are convinced that He is the Savior of the world. At least the disciples of Jesus would know that there is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. To see this disciple making happen, we have to go, we have to baptize, and we have to teach people. The first step is to go to all nations. At some point of Christ's ministry, Jesus said, do not go the way of the Gentiles, Matthew 10. But now Jesus asked the disciples to go to all nations. Regardless of the cultural barriers, language barriers, and racial barriers, we are told to go. Jesus is not only for the Jewish people. Many of you are not Jewish. Most of you. It is true that he was born in the tradition of Jewish people. He was educated in the tradition of the Jews. He read the Jewish literature, the Bible. He was taught to sing the Jewish songs. He ate and lived in the Jewish culture. He was born in the line of David in the Old Testament. His mother was a Jewish woman. Nevertheless, his message is not only for the Jewish people. It is for every human race. Even right now, he died on the cross for sinners. Regardless of these all differences, and many are perishing without knowing this truth, and even among Jewish people, they rejected him as the Messiah. Americans, Africans, Europeans, and Asians, Native Americans, all these people are suffering in one way or another without knowing that there is the Savior born and died and rose again from the dead, Jesus Christ. This does not mean that we should not take care of our own family and our own neighborhood. Those people whom you can easily see on the streets, in the vicinity of your home, in our church neighborhoods, those who need our help. Yes, of course. Our first call is to go to them, beginning at Jerusalem. And also we are called to go out of our comfort zone, even in the midst of different people groups. Yes, different people groups. They are born in different cultures, different languages. They may not have the same Christian heritage as you have, but still, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And second, and more importantly, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of Man. He's not just a Jewish man in the human history. He's more than just a man. He is the very Son of God, and He is the God Himself. Some say that Jesus is only a prophet. Others say that the Holy Spirit is not even God. But we should note that the abundance of the Christian fellowship with God lies with this doctrine of Trinity. The symbol of salvation by washing of water shows that we sinners could enter into this heavenly fellowship, communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The sinners could begin this most holy and exciting relationship with God based on the work of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you become the child of God as soon as you are baptized or by means of your baptism. That is an apparent heresy against which the reformers 500 years ago stood vehemently. But what is true is that once you are born again through the Holy Spirit, you enter into this eternal and living relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what is indicated by the sacrament baptism. Third, we teach them all the major doctrines of the Bible. The Bible teaches many things about life, the great things of life, and the smallest things of life. It is a very specific book, as you can read. There are all the necessary things revealed for our salvation and our life after salvation. One's life is not described in one level. It has various aspects regarding it. One is born into the family. One grows up and becomes educated and begins to work in the society. This person begins to know and understand himself in relation to God, the Creator. Either one becomes the slave of the created things by worshiping them, or this person becomes the true worshiper of God. And in all these dimensions, in one's life, the Bible is relevant. Especially the Bible never fails to focus on, zero in, the problem of sin. From the very beginning of the Bible, the sin problem is in detail recorded. Genesis chapter 3. Before chapter 3, you know that God established three major areas of life. First of all, God established Christian worship. On the seventh day, men are called to worship God. And God established marriage already in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were the first married couple. And God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to work. In all these major areas of life, man became sinful after the original sin. And the evil works multiplied since then, the beginning of the human procreation. The sins multiplied, and the Bible deals with all those stories about sin, but not without hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ, the Savior, who would come and who came and who overcame the power of sin. And the Bible teaches the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it deals with all the problems with the solution in Jesus Christ. What does this mean to those who do not follow this command? God manifested in the flesh. He came into the human race as a savior and died on the cross for the sins of the world. However, what he is and what he did do not mean much to other people. This savior came, but people do not want to seek him, and they are perishing without knowing Christ. In their various problems, again, they do not work or they don't know how to work during those 6 days in their lives. They do not know how to maintain good relationship between husband and wife. The families are broken. And they are suffering due to the issues of sins in their hearts and from the world. And everywhere we see the consequences of sins, and everywhere we at the same time have that opportunity to share our glorious Savior who could rescue them out of their troubles. You may think that God may fulfill His purpose anyway, regardless of those who would obey or would not obey regarding this commandment. People do not share the gospel anyway nowadays. A survey included 130,000 Presbyterian and Reformed churches some time ago. And the survey revealed that each year the average evangelical church led 1.7 people to Christ for each 100 people in attendance. Such a low level of obedience to this command of Christ is statistically shown and proven. This number of sharing the gospel with anybody surprises us given the urgency of this great command of Jesus Christ. People seem to be more relaxed without sharing than with sharing it with others. There was a time when this gospel was not known to the nations. During those days, the sins may not have been specifically mentioned and pointed out. But now, it is the days of the gospel. Sinners are asked to come to this living Savior, Jesus Christ, because of their sins. There is all the more reason now, in these days of the gospel, for people to come to church, come to Jesus Christ. The seriousness of sin has been exhibited through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to be born to finish the vicious cycle of sin. Jesus Christ had to die to pay for the price of sins against the Holy God. And Jesus Christ had to be resurrected to overcome the death. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ have to be preached so that sinners could be saved by it. Jesus Christ gave His great command to keep to all the true believers. Jesus Christ, with all His authority, is behind such evangelical effort and such activities wherein we share this gospel personally. We need to be engaged in this sharing the gospel with other people in one way or another. By sending those missionaries, by participating in the mission projects locally, or by supporting them morally, financially, emotionally, and prayerfully. Missionaries have been sent and need to be sent, and they need to be supported by those who are staying behind. This leads to our third point, the great promise to them that are sent. The life of a missionary is not easy. It is hard to predict how it would go when people follow the voice of God. Abraham went without knowing where he was going, but he followed God with faith. Without faith, they would not know where they would be heading. Without faith, it is all about their own pursuits according to their desires and pleasures. Ultimately, there would be no basis for everything that they do and they are committed to do. More important, the missionary life will be threatened by various factors. There would be persecutions. Jesus mentioned about this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:11-12. There is great animosity and hostility against those who come with the gospel. Imagine you reach out people and you would like to build up relationship with them for the sake of sharing the gospel at the end of the relationship, and you keep opening up various avenues to share the gospel, and you begin to share the gospel, and then also specifically pointing to the areas where they are struggling due to the sinful influence, and there is uneasiness right there. And their responses and reactions would vary, but more so with contempt, anger, and unwillingness. We would not know if we don't share the gospel those experiences. But we will know as soon as we try to share with them this glorious gospel with them. So is this promise given to them that are sent. Because of all these persecutions, trials, and afflictions, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we need God's extra help and even promise. Nothing is wasted in the lives of God's children who obey this command, including the sufferings, pains, tribulations, and afflictions. God promises that He would be with those who obey this great command of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we live here on earth and go through various things in this life, we may be left with doubt. What if all these things that we know about God are not true? Have you ever thought about that? The doubt sometimes increases in the midst of great afflictions, and our mind would be easily surrounded by the fogs and clouds under such circumstances. Sometimes we cannot see our future beyond such doubt and trials. We don't know even what is coming next after those trials. There was a British missionary who went to China in 1860s. And 19th century is the age of great expansion of the Christian church and mission through various missionaries. William Carey, David Livingstone, and all these Hudson Taylor, these missionaries were all in this age. And Robert Germain Thomas was one of those missionaries who went to China. Within few years, he lost his wife due to the difficulties in mission field. And then, soon after he lost his wife, he found that there was a new people group not far from China whose language was completely different from Chinese people. And he discovered that there is a Korean peninsula right next to it. And he attempted to visit this hermit nation in 1865. And then he distributed some of the Bibles that he brought over to China. And then the second year, in 1866, he went again as a translator of a merchant ship from the Western country. And this time, he could not escape safe because the people were so hostile to these foreign powers. And the country was so closed society, they wouldn't easily open their harbors to the foreign powers. And the Korean people captured this merchant ship. And Robert Germain Thomas, who was serving as an interpreter, but was originally the missionary, was captured. And he was escaping the ship as the ship was in stuck due to the tidal difference. And once the water went out at some point of the time, then the whole merchant ship couldn't move in this close coastline. And the people set fire on the ship, and he had to escape out of the ship to save his life. As he was coming out of the water, he distributed the Bible to those people who came to arrest him. And soon after, on the same day, he was executed on that coastline. But the stories go on. The Bibles distributed by him were used. Some people read it, others use it as the wallpaper in a house in those days, and they did not know what the Bible was about. But in that way, they were exposed to the Bible, and God raised the churches in Korea, my home country. And even before the missionaries were there, there was a Bible translated in Korean language. And this was the work of God. Indeed, there are lost people in this world. There is no hope for them until they hear this gospel. All things seem to happen to them by mere chance. Every day they are bombarded with the calamities and sorrows of this world, which they cannot have answer for. Every day, still here in North America, people are faced with the great challenges of life. Many were also killed in the recent gunshot crimes. The presence of God is universal in that there is no place that He could not reach. However, the presence of God is not guaranteed for everybody. God even punishes people by withdrawing His presence from them. One of those examples is Saul, the first king of the Jewish kingdom. And Saul had to greatly suffer when the Lord removed his spirit from him. In spite of these unexpected calamities in life, we could be still assured that God is with us. Jesus Christ has His own purpose in our lives, and that is to bring the gospel to those people God placed in our life to save them. And God even promised for that in our verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This special promise is for those who are going. Are you obeying this command of Jesus Christ? This is the marching orders for any and every Christian, small or great. There are various ways you could be involved in this mission. Right here in North America, still many are not hearing the gospel. In this town, Kinelon, New Jersey, people have not seriously heard the gospel. They may have received invitations now and then to come to church, but that's it. They are not yet presented with the gospel hearing opportunity. And they continue, and they continue with their children. Generation goes on without hearing the gospel when the churches are here, standing, worshiping every week. Every Wednesday, as you know, there is great outreach effort being done in Manhattan. Manhattan is such a strategic place where all kinds of languages, all kinds of people groups, all kinds of nationalities gathered. And they are very accessible. And they are right there as travelers. Every year, tens of millions of people visit New York City, whether you may know or not. We could obey God's command in this place. There was a man called William Borden who studied in the Yale in the early 20th century. He was a wealthy young man, set his heart to go to Burma to preach the gospel of Christ. After graduation, he was persuaded to tour the various universities, campuses, calling young men to give up their small ambitions and to go to the East to preach the gospel. For some years, he did that. In the USA, he crisscrossed. Then the time came and he was able to leave that behind and set off to fulfill his heart's desire to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of Burma. He set sail. The first great fort to which he landed was Alexandria in Egypt. But in Alexandria, he was struck down in cerebral meningitis. He would die in Alexandria. He would never see even Burma. As he lay dying, he heard some doctors and others discussing his case at his bedside. He heard someone saying, "What a waste! What a waste! You would understand, humanly speaking, don't you? This young man, very well educated, in the peak of his life, also coming from very wealthy family, had to die in this place, Alexandria, even before he reached Burma, where he would share the gospel. He dies in Alexandria. What a waste. But William Borden heard those words, and with what little strength he had, he replied, "No reserve, no retreat, no regret. No reserve, no retreat, no regret." Our Lord's last words are the lasting words. Why do you wait until death to be with God? He promised that He will be with you. "I do not know what you are seeking in this life, but seek Jesus Christ to be with Him and seek the opportunities to save other souls with the gospel." That is the blessed life, the greatest promise to the true Christians. Is this, "Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this word of Jesus Christ given unto us, commanded unto us. We thank you, Lord, for the great power attached to this command, the great purpose that thou hast listed out for us, and also the great promise for each child that obeys this command. Wilt thou, O Lord, help us to find those brief moments of contact with those people whom thou hast placed in our lives at this time. Lord, use us as thy faithful instrument for thy kingdom and thy church in our time. We ask this in pardon of every sin, in Jesus' name. Amen.